Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Live and in living color in Nashville, Tennessee, this is The Six. Good evening, everyone. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, Brandon Bigsby here with you. We are broadcasting, as always, from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. A tough day for us here in the state of Tennessee. A tough day for us in Nashville as we lose one of the icons of this state, of this country, you could even argue of this world. Miss Dolly Parton has unfortunately departed us, and Parker and I were talking about this earlier today when we were with each other. Brando and I have been talking about it all day. I think the general consensus we can all come away with is Dolly Parton has absolutely zero haters. Everyone and their mother has something nice to say and loves Dolly Parton, loves her music, loves the person she is, and it is heartbreaking to see someone that we all thought was going to live forever leave this world. Parker Kelly, how we doing?
Was doing better before 1 o'clock. I will say, along the Dolly Parton front, very few celebrity deaths have hit me into my core like the Dolly Parton passing. I personally had no idea that she was sick. I knew she was 80 years old, but she looked really good for an 80-year-old, and I had no idea that she was going through something. I still don't know exactly what it was she was going through, but we were talking about this on Chase and Big Joe earlier. Just her story. You know, she grew up so poor, and she talks about it, basically dirt poor in East Tennessee and Sevierville, moved to Nashville. You think about how many people probably told her no early on in her career, and she just never quit. She continued pursuing what she was passionate about, and there will never be another Dolly Parton. She was one of one. Nobody ever had a bad thing to say about her. But the most important thing is she used her platform to help people. And I know Adam was talking about this on DVD, Connor, about the books and how, you know, kids up to 5 years old, they get a free book every month because of Dolly Parton. And just growing up, I remember my mom reading those books to me as a little kid, and it just really hit home. But there will never be another Dolly Parton. And we certainly pay tribute to her today.
It hits you to your core. That's an outstanding point by you. I think the last celebrity death that shook me like this was Kobe Bryant, because that's the one. Every once in a while, you'll have a celebrity death like this where you remember exactly where you were at that time. For me, I was sitting in my cubicle. For you, you were producing. For Brando, he found out through me, like a lot of you did today. I guess that we work with.
I also found out through you. You came in, and I could not believe it. I could not believe it. At first, I thought that maybe he's joking, but then I realized Connor wouldn't joke about something like that. It turned out to be true.
I would never joke about Dolly Parton parting with us. Unfortunate. But yeah, it's stuff like this. You remember exactly where you were when it happened. I remember exactly where I was when Kobe Bryant passed. I actually remember exactly where I was when Michael Jackson passed. It was 2009, so I was, five? We were in Atlanta at the time, and I remember waking up in the hotel room that morning and learning that Michael Jackson had passed, and I remember that. So this one is certainly a tough one to swallow. I'm sure for us on a different level, living in the state of Tennessee, it's a tough one because she's such a core pillar of what Tennessee is and what we stand for.
Yeah, I think that was a good comparison too, Connor, because obviously when a name like Dolly Parton passes, you kind of, that's your first thought, like, there's no way that's real, right? Like,
yep.
there's no chance it actually happened. And I think for her, the reason it hits all of us so differently, not just because she's, you know, a Nashville icon and a Tennessee icon, but just the person that Dolly Parton was, how much good that she did for other people, how selfless she was, the heart that she had. I mean, there are few people in this world that you can say, you can't find one person to say a negative thing about them. Dolly Parton was one of them. I can't think of one person I've ever seen or heard say something bad or not positive about who Dolly Parton, the person, was. So as legendary as she was for her music and her career and the fashion and her business sense, the person that she was is what truly put her on such high level for who she was and how much she meant to so many people.
So we'll miss you, Dolly. Just wanted to open the show with that. I think pretty much everyone since it's happened has probably talked about it, so why would we leave ourselves out? It's tough. It's an impactful person. Her music is so popular and impactful in the state of Tennessee. So, you know, when you're around it all the time and you grow up kind of idolizing Dolly Parton in a way, to see her go is truly heartbreaking. But on to sports. The Tennessee Titans were on the practice field today. Unfortunately, neither Parker nor I were able to be out there as obligations were required here. So based on some of the things I've seen from our friends at the Titans reporting, some of the notes we've seen, some of the noise coming out of practice, doesn't sound like it was a good day for the offense today. To be more specific, Cam Ward threw two picks. He was, I believe, 7 of 16 for one touchdown and two picks. Not a great day. It looks like five picks thrown combined between the three quarterbacks, that being Ward, Trubisky, and Levis. So, without further ado, the question, how concerning is that? Obviously, you probably heard Adam right before we came on the air do the best Allen Iverson impression he's done. We're talking about practice. Practice. And it's practice. You can't take any final judgments from a practice. I'm sure you people have heard me say that enough this week. But how concerning is it to see that the offense is struggling? Now, two times we've seen them in open media in a row, with the Bears coming in later this week. And, you know, that's a tough team you're going to be going up against. So how concerning is it that the Titans are struggling right now heading into the Bears joint practice?
The best word that I can think of that comes to mind for me, because you are right, it's practice, it's preseason, and, you know, pretty much anybody in the football world will tell you that you can put almost no stock in preseason and practice. It's just, it doesn't give you any support or any hope that Cam Ward is going to end up being the franchise quarterback, which you were hoping he would be when you drafted him first overall. Now, that doesn't, this does not indicate anything about his future, but it just doesn't give you any added context that, okay, he's taking steps in the right direction. In fact, for a lot of fans and for, you know, some of the media too, it's doing the opposite. I would just like to see Cam Ward, you know, we talk about what he needs to improve on. We talk about, you know, his feet, tying it together with, you know, going through progressions, not escaping the pocket when he doesn't need to, the different arm angles, being accurate with the football, taking what's given to it. We can talk about that all we want till we're blue in the face, but it ultimately doesn't mean anything unless he actually goes out and does it. And he has yet to do that, at least in a preseason game. And then this practice today, again, we weren't out there, but it didn't sound too good. So the best word that I can think of, it's uninspiring.
Yeah, and I think Dan Orlovsky used that word yesterday, and I think it's a great word, and we can continue to use that today. Uninspiring. You can look at this one of two ways. We can go the glass half empty route, where the offense was not good, and Cam Ward is not connecting with his receivers, and the accuracy issues continue to be a thing, and oh my God, this is going to trend into the regular season. Or we can go with the glass half full route. Flip it to the other side of the ball. It sounds like the defense had a bounce back day from what they put on display Sunday. It sounds like the DBs had a good day. I believe it was Alante Taylor and Kevin Winston who picked off Cam Ward today. So it sounds like those two had a good day. It sounds like the pass rush affected the pass like they're supposed to, like they're being paid to. So we could flip it to the glass half full side, and that's what I'm going to choose to do here. I think it's good to hear that the defense for the Titans is having a bounce back practice. I emphasize the word practice. We can't take final judgments from practice. Remember, I'm going to keep hammering that home because apparently a lot of the Titans fan base seems to think that preseason determines exactly what your season is going to look like. It does not, contrary to popular belief. But I'm going to flip it over to the positive side because I'm tired of talking about the negatives of this Titans team. It sounds like the defense had a pretty good day. The pass rush was effective. It sounds like the DBs were doing their job. Happy birthday, Cordell Flott. I believe it's his birthday, so hopefully he had a good day out there today. Obviously didn't show up in the stat sheet, but To me, it sounds like the defense had a good day. And as Caleb on our text line says, honestly more pleased to see the DBs have a pulse. That's the positive takeaway I'm taking from today. The defense was up and active. And with a defense as advertised to be what they are, you should be coming away with more good days than bad. Now, that obviously affects Cam Ward and how he looks out there. But I'm pleased to hear that the defense had a good day. Now, obviously, on the other side, we can talk about Cam Ward and the struggles he had, and I'm sure a lot of you will start texting in here soon. We should bench him immediately and, you know, let him never see the light of day as a quarterback. But I choose to reflect on how good the defense was today. That's not me ignoring the other side. That's not me saying, well, Cam Ward's a future Hall of Famer. Absolutely not. In fact, I don't think right now he's on the trajectory to be a franchise quarterback. But we've talked enough about that. Let's talk about what the defense was able to do out there and force plays and force the offense to have a bad day. That is the main takeaway from practice for me today.
And if you think about it, the offense and defense both have had their fair share of struggles. It hasn't been specifically one side or the other. It hasn't just been all the offenses look terrible, but the defenses look great. No, they've both had their dark moments, and they've also had great moments throughout training camp. But if you think about it, when they're going up against each other in practice, if one side succeeds, of course the other side of it is we're going to talk about how bad the other side was and vice versa. So that's just a natural product of when you're going up against the same sides of the ball every practice. But it was a good day for the defense. It's what it sounds like. And they're going to need it. They might have practice tomorrow. I do know it's not open to the media before the joint practice against Chicago on Thursday. But you think about that. Chicago might have one of the better offenses that the Titans are going to go up against this preseason. If not, it's right on par with, you know, Seattle. So that's going to be a good test for him, and we know what Ben Johnson is thinking. Ben Johnson's been very clear that he wants to have the highest scoring offense in NFL history. So we know what his goals are. It'll be a great test for that defense. So for them to have a good practice heading into this joint and then the preseason game on Saturday night, that is encouraging to hear.
And if you want to take singular performance instances away from the offense today, Cam Ward had 2 picks. We know that. Trubisky and Levis threw 3 picks combined. So it wasn't just Ward out there. And it also is worth noting that from the notes I've read and the people I've talked to, it sounds like Jermaine Johnson was all over the field today. And that's exciting because that's a player I think a lot of us had a lot of questions on heading into the season, obviously being traded one up for Tavondre Sweat. And so far through this preseason, I can honestly say he was nothing short of impressive. I am excited about the role that Jermaine Johnson can possibly play in this defense coming off the edge. The 4-3, as I've told you many times before, the 4-3 is perfectly suited for a defensive front four because it gives you that extra guy off the edge, and that's an extra blocker that the offensive line has to pick up, and Jermaine Johnson, shifty and as built as he is capable of getting to the quarterback. So that's something to take away if you're looking for something positive. Overall, the message is clear. It's practice. Not a real game, not even a preseason game. It's practice. And you know what you do in practice? You practice the things that you're going to do on the field. The defense today practiced what they plan to do against opposing offenses today. And I don't think that the offense is full-heartedly practicing what they plan to do against defenses on Sundays this year. Anyways, 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. Our phone and text lines, as always, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll take more of your reaction coming up next. We got a loaded show for you today. Going to talk a lot of Titans. Going to talk some Vandy football, which is history on this program. I don't think we've done that yet. But big news coming out of Vandy, so we have to talk about that. And, of course, we'll wrap things up with Where Are They Now? But coming up next, friend of the station, our good friend Paul Kaharsky, I believe put out his 53-man projections. And he says he thinks that Bryce Oliver at wide receiver and Julius Chestnut at running back are both going to make the roster for special teams purposes. If that's the case, Are we overlooking other players at that position at wide receiver and running back to take those final roster spots? We'll discuss that coming up next. Connor Newt, Sunshine, Parker Kelly, and Brandon Bigsby here with you on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. This is The Six here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here with you on your drive home. And a little bit of breaking news on the college sports front. Breaking news from the SEC. The SEC has announced a new policy prohibiting member schools from rostering athletes who previously declared for a professional draft and did not properly withdraw, signed a professional contract, or appeared on a professional roster. Obviously, the news earlier today was the Big Ten was implementing this rule. The SEC has followed suit. So, what does this mean? This means that the NFL players that were traveling over to LSU to play for Lane Kiffin are now ineligible. This means R.J. Lewis in college basketball, who committed to LSU, is ineligible. I'd have to do some research, but for my Kentucky fans, I am not sure that Mark Mitchell is going to be eligible. He played in the NBA Summer League for the Denver Nuggets this past season, signed a 10-day contract, and was immediately waived. So, I'm going to have to do some research on that, but overall, good on the SEC for showing some backbone. Good on college sports for showing some backbone and outlawing a rule that was very, very clearly beyond what should have happened. Parker, your thoughts on this breaking news?
Should have happened last night when they released their statement. I saw that they released their statement. I'm like, okay, you can put the statement out all you want, but ultimately it's up to you to do something because we know the NCAA is not going to do anything, and we know there's no commissioner in college athletics, no commissioner for college football or anything like that. A lot of people have their hands on the wheel in the sport who have no business being there in the first place. I think it's, you know, ultimately it was the right thing to do, and I didn't expect them to do it after the Big Ten did it, because I know Greg Sankey and I know the SEC, they don't want to be seen as followers, they want to be seen as leaders. Well, this should have been done last night, but I do applaud them for doing this. Honestly, if I'm being 100% transparent, this should have happened in March when Alabama allowed Charles Bediako to come on the court.
Yep.
That should have happened then and not right now. But ultimately, it was the right decision.
Yeah, it's the right decision. The Kentucky fan in me is a bit concerned because I want Mark Mitchell to play. But if it's against the rules, then it's against the rules. And I'm all for whatever the SEC decided to do. But you're absolutely
right. The greater good of college athletics, Connor.
Yep.
The greater good.
No, I'm 100% with it. I want to play within the rules. I want to play for the greater good of college athletics. And I think this is a great first step in the right direction. We still got a long way to go. We got to get a lot of guardrails. I would imagine the rest of the Power Four would probably try to follow suit with the two big dogs in the Big Ten and the SEC. I don't know how soon that'll be, but I mean, the Big 12 and the ACC would be foolish not to follow suit, right?
I expect them to. I did read an article right before we got on the air that the ACC is meeting to discuss the issue this week, but there are just so many things in college athletics that are just such common sense, and this is one of them. It really doesn't take a meeting, and if you're meeting, the only thing you should discuss is how quickly can we put out a statement banning professional athletes from coming. They already have enough on their plate. They don't need to add more. Just put out a statement and ban them from your conference.
It appears that for my Kentucky fans, Mark Mitchell is currently ineligible. So, for the greater good of college sports, I'm okay with it if that's the case. It hurts your roster, but I'm okay with it if that's the case. I'm thrilled that this got done. I am very thankful that we finally had some common sense bleed through. It appears all 16 athletic directors voted unanimously. So, it was voted 16-0 to pass this for the SEC. So congratulations, SEC and Greg Sankey. You finally had some common sense. Could have done it last night, but you've done it now, and we're thankful for that. All right, let's get to the Titans, what I wanted to talk about here. So Paul Kaharsky, friend of the station, does a great job over at paulkaharsky.com if you're interested in his work. He, I believe, has released his 53 projections. And one thing he said is that he thinks that wide receiver Bryce Oliver and running back Julius Chestnut, two guys the Titans are very familiar with on the back end of the roster, are going to make the roster again this year for special teams purposes. Now, I think you and I, Parker, have been talking about the back ends of those positions, at wide receiver and running back, and how interesting it is to see who's going to claim that spot. For wide receiver, it's easy. You know five of them. I always say Ward. Tate, Ridley, Wandell Robinson, Alec Iomanner, Jim DK. It's a matter of who's going to get that sixth spot, and it's probably between Bryce Oliver, KJ Osborne, dare I say Xavier Restrepo. Running back is also interesting because I think you know three of them, Pollard, Spears, Singletary, and then that last position is down to Chestnut, Carter, Kalel Mullins, D'Ernest Johnson, who they just signed last week. Those are pretty interesting to me. But I want to start with wide receiver. Are they overlooking Osborne, Restrepo, anyone at that wide receiver position, if this is the case, to put Bryce Oliver in there?
No, I don't think they are, because if we're being honest, when you're a wide receiver six, you're not really playing on offense anyway. So you most of your playing time, pretty much 95% of your playing time, unless there are some injuries to your wide receiver room, which obviously you don't want to happen, 95% of your playing time is coming on special teams. So you're looking at, you know, it's between Bryce Oliver, KJ Osborne. I've believed that it's between those two guys really all this time, with, you know, guys like Xavier Restrepo and Mason Kinsey. They're competing for, you know, they're probably going to end up on your practice squad unless another team claims them off waivers, which didn't happen last year, may not happen again this year. But for Bryce Oliver and KJ Osborne, KJ Osborne's strengths on special teams is a kick and punt returner. And you already have that in Chim Dike, who is an all-pro as a rookie last year. So Bryce Oliver can make his money as a gunner, and he's a really good gunner at that when he's healthy. So if I were to lean one way or the other, it's Bryce Oliver, just because I believe he contributes more overall, can play more positions on special teams, where KJ Osborne, his strength is kick and punt returning.
And I think there's familiarity there. Obviously, Cam Ward has worked with Bryce Oliver, and he's worked with Xavier Restrepo as well. But as we know, Xavier Restrepo, as much as some people love him, I don't think he's an NFL wide receiver at this point in his career. Bryce Oliver is on that borderline, but he's got NFL experience and a lot more than Xavier Restrepo. KJ Osborne is the X factor here, or the wrench in the plans, so to speak, because he's got experience, and he's got experience in good offensive systems. I mean, he played in Minnesota with Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen in that wide receiver room. But he just hasn't been that great in training camp. Like, there's nothing he's really done to get in with the ones that I've seen. He does fine with the twos with Mitchell Trubisky, but, I mean, if you're going with anyone on the back end, I would probably go with Bryce Oliver for all the reasons you stated. He contributes on special teams. If you do rotate him in, there's familiarity there. I would go with Bryce Oliver as your last wide receiver. Running back is a bit more interesting to me because you know what Julius Chestnut is at this point. Preseason Hall of Famer. I mean, he always seems to make plays in practice and in these preseason games to say, hey, maybe Julius Chestnut deserves a spot on the 53. But you have guys under him that I think are equally as capable of making this roster. Michael Carter, there's familiarity there with him and Saleh. He played with the Jets while Saleh was the head coach. Kalel Mullins, you just drafted him last year. There's youth on the side there. Who am I missing here? D'Ernest Johnson, who you just signed last week. Probably as a camp body, but did score a touchdown in that preseason game against Seattle. So I'll ask you the same question on the running back room, Parker. Are they overlooking anyone in that room if they do decide to give the position to Julius Chestnut?
Running back has been one of the hardest positions for me to diagnose on this team. Saleh said, you know, Pollard and Spears, they're the bell cow, so there's no questioning that. You're going to keep Singleton because you spent a fifth-round pick on him, and there's upside there. But when it comes down to that fourth spot, they may not have to keep four running backs, but I do imagine that they would. Chestnut, I respect Julius Chestnut so much because he's been able to make a career in the NFL off of, you know, he's always been overlooked coming out of Sacred Heart. Nobody really paid too much attention of him, but he's always making plays in practice, and he's forcing an NFL team in this case, the Titans, to tell him no. And he's just, he's stuck around. He's been there. So for him to put himself in this position is solely credit to him. But with Mullings, you're talking about a former linebacker at Michigan. So he knows how to tackle, and tackling is very valuable on special teams. How good of a tackler is Julius Chestnut? Probably not as good as Kalel Mullings, but he's been really good in practice. So I don't know. I'm kind of surprised that Paul is saying that. I would probably lean Mullings at this point in time, but Chestnut, it's hard to say no to him.
Yeah, he flashes out there, man. And he contributes on special teams. D-Mace calls him the screen machine, which I am carrying forth that burden. Not burden, that name. It's a great name. Kalel Mullins is the one that I'm looking at. I'm like, yeah, he's got youth, and I think he can contribute equally on special teams. I don't know, maybe they keep 5 running backs. We'll see. I doubt it, because you're not going to cut Pollard, obviously. You're not obviously going to cut Spears. I don't think you cut Nick Singleton because you just drafted him. That would essentially be blowing draft capital for no reason. And, you know, he's been injured, but still, he's got some upside to him. It's tough between Chestnut and Mullins, but I think I would have to go in the direction of Chestnut. He's going to be hard to beat out to get at that position.
Yeah, he's always making, you know, one-handed catches when he's running with the offense. To be honest, if you put me on the hot seat, I could make a case for all 7 running backs, you know, D'Ernest Johnson included. But you have a good idea of how many running backs they're going to keep. I think the number is 4. I think 5 is too many, because there are other, you know, Saul is going to keep 10 defensive linemen because of the rotation that he runs. Probably going to keep 9 or 10 offensive linemen, so that's 19 players already. There are just too many other positions that need bodies outside of the running back. So I think 3 is too little. So 4 is the sweet spot. But it really comes down to Chestnut and Mullings for that final spot. And it's about kind of the same conversation we were having with Bryce Oliver, who contributes more on special teams.
615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. Coming up next, big news out of Vanderbilt football today, as Blaze Berlowitz named the quarterback 1 of the team, at least to start the season against Austin Peay. I've heard a lot of narratives today, and including a debate between myself and DVD today, on why Blaze Berlowitz starting is the right decision. I disagree. I think you should 100% start Jarrett Curtis, and I'll tell you why. Coming up next, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here with you. This is The 6 on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. This is The 6 here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, Brandon Bigsby here with you on your drive home, honoring the life and the legacy of one Dolly Parton. And maybe not a hot take, this is her best song, in my opinion. She's got a ton of great songs in that discussion. It's your favorite. It's Islands in the Stream.
That oh gosh, yeah. That had me shedding a tear earlier.
It's a banger. I mean, the harmonies in that one, her verse, her voice. Honoring the life and the legacy of one Miss Dolly Parton. I need the cinnamon bread from Dollywood as we speak right now. But big news coming out today from Vanderbilt, Parker, as the Commodores have named Blaze Berlowitz quarterback 1 heading into the week 1 matchup against Austin Peay. And there's been a lot of discourse about that throughout the station all day, including a debate between myself, Willie, D-Mace, and Adam. And a lot of them seem to be on the side of Clark Lee's making the right decision and starting the senior over the 5-star freshman. I disagree with this sentiment. I disagree with that point because of these reasons. Yes, I understand Blaze Berlowitz is a senior. No, I don't think that Jarrett Curtis will transfer. I argued that point against Derek, and he brought it to my attention that he's a senior, and in thinking about it, I don't think he would transfer. But if you want to get a quarterback acclimated to a game setting the quickest, don't you go out there and play him? And guess who they play week 1 and week 2? Austin Peay and Delaware. Vanderbilt is quite literally leagues better than Austin Peay and leagues better than Delaware. They should handle those games pretty fairly, no? So I understand if they're trying to throw Berlowitz a bone and say, you know, you've given a lot to this program, you deserve to start at least for a little while. But I think if you want to get a quarterback acclimated, especially as highly coveted and as highly touted of a quarterback as Jared Curtis was coming out of high school, then you start him. You see what the kid can do. And he's still going to play on some level in those two games. But I think you start him because that's a confidence thing. That's a thing the team can rally around. And for him, that just tells him you have all the trust in him and that you're giving him the opportunity to acclimate himself to the offense around you. What they're going to do, if they start him in week three at the earliest against NC State, that's still a step above Delaware and Austin Peay. That is an ACC talent and maybe a mid-tier ACC team, but that's the kind of team that could possibly give Vanderbilt a game. We'll see. Even worse, let's say we get to SEC play and they decide to go to Berlewitz or go away from Berlewitz and go to Curtis. You're going against interleague play. And as we know, the SEC is a very tough league to play in college football. Nothing is going to rattle a young quarterback that's never started on a college level before more than getting shell-shocked on the road against Georgia. So I think it's better to rip off the Band-Aid now and play him against teams that you are capable of beating by 40 than it is against teams that maybe could give you a game or may just flat out beat you outright.
I was shocked by this news. I was taking victory laps yesterday because I believed that Alabama was going to go with Keelan Russell. They named Keelan Russell their starter. I believed Tennessee was going to go with Faison Brandon. They went with Faison Brandon. I believe Florida was going to go with Aaron Filo. They went with Aaron Filo. I just straight up missed on this Vanderbilt thing. I was saying weeks ago that we all know Jared Curtis is going to be the starter, and I was wrong. I was shocked by this. But I never questioned Jared Curtis's physical ability because if we're talking just physical, Jared Curtis is ready yesterday to play in the SEC. But mentally, I feel like I can attest to this because I played in the same classification as Nashville Christian, and all due respect to all the schools in Division II single A, but that's not the hardest competition. Making the jump to college, regardless of if you're playing at SEC, FCS, the Mountain West, I don't really care. There's going to be a big jump. So Clark Lee clearly feels that Jared Curtis, from a mental standpoint, the offense hasn't slowed down enough for him to be the starter. I believe that's why you have a guy like Blaze Berlewitz who has adequate enough traits. I don't think that he's going to be the starter the whole season, but he can at least serve as a bridge. Jared Curtis is going to play versus Austin Peay. He's going to play versus Delaware. You don't need a superstar quarterback to beat both of those teams, contrary to what Bruce Feldman believes. But Jared Curtis is going to play, and he's going to get the opportunity. And if he looks good and he looks better than Blaze Berlewitz, it's going to be hard to look bad against those teams. But if Jared Curtis outshines Blaze Berlewitz, there's going to be a real conversation heading into week three versus NC State. Who should be the starter?
And I don't think it's Blaze Berlewitz's fault. Obviously, he's come into this offseason and blown the coaches away with his ability and his maturity. Good for him, honestly, to be named the starter. He's been waiting a long time. But I think from a logistics standpoint and for the outlook of Vanderbilt as a program moving forward, I would have started Curtis. I think it would have been more wise to do so. I think you say the future is now. And I think I'm comparing it to the other team in the state who did that exact thing with Faison Brandon. Now, Faison's not as highly touted of a prospect as Curtis was, but still, he's a five-star freshman coming into a new offense for the first time. And I understand the gap between a senior and a true freshman is a lot more significant than a redshirt freshman and a true freshman. But still, McIntyre had experience in that system. He had a year under his belt under Josh Heupel. Faison had nothing, and he's come in, and he's knocked the coach's socks off, and now he's the starter. I don't understand the logic. I mean, I can understand the logic behind Vanderbilt's thinking, but I wouldn't have done it. I would have gone the exact opposite way, and the worst-case scenario is if Jared Curtis isn't ready and you truly have to bench him, which I don't think they ever would have benched him if they started him from the beginning because nothing is more damaging to a quarterback, as I said that about playing in the SEC. But still, those are two of the most damaging things for an SEC quarterback, is being benched and playing in a tough environment. Worst case scenario, you have a very capable backup in Blaise Berlowitz. So I don't agree with what Vandy did. I'm sure that Jared Curtis is going to get in there and be named the starter at some point this season. But to me, the earlier the better. And I feel like you should have just gone ahead, ripped the Band-Aid off, named him the starter for Austin Peay. Even if you thought that Blaise was better, if it was close, you give it to the freshman. Because so much groundwork was laid to bring Curtis over from Georgia. He was going to sit behind Gunnar Stockton. And it, from everything I've heard and what the narrative on paper looks like, they promised him a lot more here. And he took it. So I feel like this was kind of handled not the way I would have. Again, I'm not the coach. Charlie can attest to that. We're not the coach. The coach wants the quarterback to play. He's going to play him. And obviously, Clark Lea wants Blaise Berlowitz to play, and they have all the faith in the world. And good for him. But I would have started Curtis for all those reasons I laid out. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. One final segment for us here on this Tuesday. We'll play Where Are They Now? Coming up next, this is The Six here on 102.5 The Game. I can't get over the fact that it's Justin Timberlake in this for some reason.
It really does throw you off, but it kind of fits in a weird way.
It is. I mean, it's kind of perfect. He works. He does it well. He showed up at a Don Toliver concert the other day in Miami and sang Rock Your Body for some reason.
Wow. I wouldn't have put those two together at all.
I wouldn't have either. Anyways, welcome back in. This is The Six here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, Brandon Bigsby here with you. About to play our favorite game, Where Are They Now? Chad on our text line says, my preemptive guest today is Greg Oden. Greg Oden played for two teams that would be very obvious. It would be the Portland Trailblazers and the Miami Heat. He will not be used today. Better luck next time, Chad. But without further ado, I think you all know how this works at this point. Let's play Where Are They Now? All right, I'll kick things off for us today. We'll go to the association, onto the hardwood. Houston Rockets, Dallas Mavericks, Memphis Grizzlies, Atlanta Hawks. Lots of thinking going on, sounds like.
Yeah, lots of silence coming from this side of the room.
Can you repeat the teams one more time? I was doing producer things.
Yes, you were. And that I very much appreciate. Houston Rockets, Dallas Mavericks, Memphis Grizzlies, Atlanta Hawks.
Man, this is actually a good one. I got to give you some credit. This is a tough one, actually.
Drafted in 2011, all rookie team. Last season was in 2020.
And you said that he started out with the Rockets?
He did.
Drafted in 2011.
You said his... Repeat that last thing you said.
Retired in 2020?
Yeah.
And he was with the Hawks.
Indeed.
So he played 9 seasons in the NBA?
Yes. From the University of Florida...
It's going to kill me when I find out who it is, because I should know it.
Nope, that's not it. Never mind.
Well, I had a guess originally, but Florida, that changes it a good bit. I'm trying to think of 2011 Florida.
So, was he on the team that won the national championship?
No, not Duke. Who won in 2011?
I think UConn.
Florida won in...
that was 06-07.
Yeah, 06-07.
I've been told by the suit earlier today, we got to be better about out times. So you got about 30 seconds.
I'm out.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm waving the white flag.
It is Chandler Parsons.
Ah, man. That was a good pull. The Hawks one is what threw me off of that.
Yeah, he played 1 year there.
That was a good pull. I'm solely, I'm not expecting to win this, which is kind of crazy coming from me, but I just want to stump Brandon.
Yeah.
That's my lone goal.
Well, my goal has been accomplished for today because I wanted to get him on that one.
Yeah, you did it. That was good.
Parker, who we got?
Now I need to go. Okay. So this player is currently active in the association.
Yeah.
He was drafted in 2021. He spent his first season in the NBA with the Los Angeles Clippers, played the following season in the G League team with the G League team associated with the Clippers, went to the Portland Trail Blazers for another year, played for the Nets for two consecutive seasons from 23 to 25, spent a little bit of time with the Nets G League team, and is currently a member of the Boston Celtics G League team, the Maine Celtics.
Sounds like a Tennessee Vol if I've ever heard one.
Yeah. You said 2021?
All right, so who was on that team?
Oh, Connor. I love the subtle diss there for Tennessee basketball.
No, that wasn't a diss.
but you are right because most of the good players do end up in the G League.
What was the first team you said he got picked by?
So it says that he was drafted. You know, the draft's always been confusing to me. It says he was drafted by the New York Knicks, but he played his first season with the Clippers, so they probably traded the pick.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Because they do that stupid thing with the hats.
Probably late
rounds,
too.
Oh, my God. Drives me crazy.
I'm going to just throw this one out here, even though I don't think it's correct. Is it Yves Pons?
No.
Not Yves Pons.
He played with
Yves Pons is playing in France right now, I believe.
Oh,
shout
good
out
for him.
Yves Pons, man.
Loved Yves Pons. What? One-time defensive player of the year in the SEC?
Yeah.
Might have been two-time.
Shout out Yves Pons, man.
Is it Phillips? I forget his first name.
Julian Phillips?
Yeah, Julian Phillips. No. All right, I'm down to one.
Julian Phillips.
Is it a Tennessee Vol at all?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, I thought so, but I didn't want to get too stuck on him if it wasn't.
Is it Jaden Springer?
You guys are literally beating around the bush. It's not Jaden Springer.
Oh, it's not.
Oh, he said.
You guys have literally hit like every other gear.
Well, this is not going to count as a guess, but I mean, I'm trying to think of everyone on that team. It's not Kennedy Chandler because he was drafted by Memphis.
No, yeah, he was
another Tennessee five star that ended up playing in the G League.
So this guy was a five star.
I gave you another hint, didn't I?
Yes, you did. It doesn't help me, but
it doesn't help me at all.
I know we're short on time, so I'm going to call
it. Is it Keon Johnson?
It is Keon Johnson
at
the buzzer.
Great pull.
At the buzzer.
Ball knowledge, Connor knew.
Bang, bang. All right. Brando, if you go quick, we can get it in.
Yeah, we're going to go to the NFL with this one. This player played for the following teams: the St. Louis Rams, the New York Giants, the New Orleans Saints, the Tennessee Titans, and he last played with the San Francisco 49ers in 2022.
Say that again.
Rams, Giants, Saints, Titans, 49ers. Last played in 2022.
Janoris Jenkins.
Wow, that was quick. Way to go, Connor.
Yeah, no, that was good. That was good because Janoris Jenkins, yeah.
Jackrabbit. Jackrabbit
Jenkins
was horrible
Jack
here.
Jenkins.
Yes, he was.
Connor's on fire today.
Yeah, he's rolling today.
It's 3 of 3. And we'll end it on that note. I'll take 100% from the field today. 3 of 3. One of my better days. That'll do it for us today here on the 6. But don't go anywhere here on 102.5 The Game. Head down to our YouTube channel. Parker Kelly's got the Air Raid coming up next. What's coming up on the Air Raid, Parker?
Oh, you know, we're just going to touch on this Blaze Berlowitz situation a little bit more, the SEC putting out their statement, and we got a full Week 0 preview because we actually have games to talk about.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, it's Week 0. Everyone get excited, or as I call it, Week 1, Part 1. Week 1, Part 2 is
the appetizer to the main course.
It is. It's like the mozzarella sticks before your tour of Italy at Olive Garden. Good stuff.
But still games, nonetheless.
Still games. Football is back, America. That'll do it for us here on the 6 for Parker Kelly, Brandon Bigsby behind the glass. My name is Connor Newt saying no more words for us here on 102.5. This has been the 6.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.